Our text of Scripture today we want to look at, continuing on with our studies in the offerings of the Old Testament, is verse number 1 of Leviticus chapter number 3. It says, "And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord." Now, one of the great blessings of being a Christian is the blessing of having peace with God. In the midst of great sorrow and trial and loss, the hymn writer spoke of that blessing in his own life. When he said, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And my, the believer, is reminded of this great blessing of peace with God through the peace offering that is mentioned here in our text in Leviticus chapter 3 and the verse number 1. Here the Lord is speaking to ancient Israel about the matter of the peace offering. And he says in verse 1, "And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about." Now, this peace offering could either be an ox or a lamb or a goat. It could either be male or female, and it was offered to God by the Israelites at the door of the tabernacle of worship, and it was a token of a thanksgiving for God's mercies to them as a people. And from what we learn here in Leviticus chapter 3 and also from Leviticus chapter number 7, the offering itself, when it was made, was divided into three parts. One part was burned upon the altar as an offering to the Lord. Another part was taken by the priest who offered it upon the altar. And then another part was kept by the person who initially brought the offering themselves to the door of the tabernacle of worship in the Old Testament. And the great lesson being taught in all of this is that sinful man can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only mediator between God and man. Because all these offerings in the Old Testament, they point us to Christ and to the blessings of God through Christ in the Christian life. You think of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth, one of his great titles is that of the Prince of Peace, the source of all peace. You remember the announcement that the angels made announcing the birth of Christ. And they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And they were telling us there how Christ has come to bring peace to hearts and lives that are troubled by sin. Again in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 14, we're told there that he is our peace. Again, writing in Colossians 1, verse 20 of Christ, Paul says this about Christ. He says, "Having made peace through the blood of his cross." In other words, by his sacrifice, he made peace between God and the sinner. He satisfied the justice of God. He satisfied the wrath of God when God poured out his judgment upon Christ upon the cross for guilty sinners like you and I. My man receives this peace when, as a repentant sinner, he trusts Christ, trusts in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ alone for his salvation. We read about that in Romans chapter 5 and the verse number 1, where it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And people, this morning, this is the great truth that is taught by the peace offering in Leviticus chapter number 3. That man, the sinner, can have peace with God through faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man. To have peace with God through faith in Christ. Now, to have peace with God means wonderful privileges and wonderful blessings for the child of God. And it is some of those blessings and some of those privileges that I want us to look at this morning as we consider this matter of peace with God, and the peace offering being a picture of that peace that we find through faith in Christ. First of all, I want you to notice here this morning that peace with God, it means the privilege of fellowship with God. You look at what Paul says there in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, or verse 2, speaking of those who have peace with God, he goes on and he says, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Notice that word access there. Underline it in your Bible. It speaks of a fellowship with God. You see, when a person trusts Christ as their Savior, the barrier of sin between them and God is removed. The barrier of sin that separates them from God is taken away. You remember what the Lord, or what Paul said to the Colossian believers who had trusted Christ as Savior? In Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, he says, and having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you. And there he was reminding them that their sin had been blotted out. That charge, that guilt of sin that was against them was blotted out through Christ. When they trusted him, it was all forgiven. Oh, believer, this morning, and having peace with God through faith in Christ as Savior, please understand this, child of God. Don't lose sight of it in this world. You can enjoy fellowship with God. You have access to God as your loving, gracious, heavenly Father. That's the fruit of having peace with God through faith in Christ, as it says there in Romans 5, verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You have fellowship with God. The ground of that fellowship is because of Christ and what he has done. What does this fellowship mean? This fellowship means, child of God, that you can hear God's speaking voice in this world, especially through his Bible, through his word. And that is why it is so important to read your Bible, child of God, and so important to listen to the word of God as it is preached. David, speaking of the word of God, he could say, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The word of God brought joy to David's heart. Speaking of the word of God, the hymn writer says, Lord, thy word abideth, and her footsteps guideth, who its truth believeth, light and joy receiveth. Oh, the blessing of hearing God's voice in the word of God. They were testifying there of the blessing of fellowship with God through his word. And believer, that is why it is so important in our daily lives. We spend time in the word of God so that we can fellowship with God, so that we can hear God's word, God's voice to our hearts and to our souls. And this is your privilege as a child of God, of having peace with God through faith in Christ. Yes, there's the privilege of fellowship with God through his word. But also, believer, in having peace with God, there's the privilege of fellowship with God in prayer. Oh, think of that this morning. By prayer, you can thank God, your heavenly Father, for mercies given to you, mercies given to others. And also by prayer, you can ask him for more mercies for yourselves, and supplicate him also for more mercies for others in their times of need. What does it say in Philippians 4, verse 6? It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What a privilege of fellowship. What a privilege of having peace with God. That you can pray to God, your heavenly Father. Bring your cares, your needs, your burdens, the cares and the needs and the burdens of others to the throne of grace and prayer. Someone has once said that the greatest and best talent that God gives to any man or woman in this world is the talent of prayer. Fellowship through his word. Fellowship in prayer at the throne of grace, but also, believer, this fellowship, it means the Holy Spirit guiding your heart in the ways of God. You see, Christian, the Bible says your body is the temple of God, the Holy Ghost. And by the day you repented of your sin and trusted Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit came into your heart and into your life and into your soul. And by the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your heart, God will guide you in a path of truth. In other words, in the pathway of His Word, He will guide you in a way that will glorify Christ, in a way that will always honor the Lord. Turn in your Bible, please, over to John's Gospel, chapter 16. John's Gospel, chapter 16. And look with me, please, at verse 13 and verse number 14. And here Christ is speaking to us about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of the Spirit in our lives, this great privilege when we have peace with God. And in John 16, verse 13 and 14, he says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come," that's the Holy Spirit in our hearts, notice that He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit never guides His people away from God's Word. He always guides them into His Word and what the Word of God teaches and says. "For He shall not speak of Himself, for whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak." And He will show you things to come. By the Spirit of God, we can be guided in accordance with His Word. Verse 14, "And He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine," and notice it, "and shall show it unto you." And again, the Holy Spirit always guides us to Christ, always guides us to the glory of Christ and the honor of Christ, never the reverse. My, that is the ministry, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost in our hearts and in our souls. When we have peace with God, when we have this wonderful privilege of having fellowship with God, through that peace. You read Acts chapter 16, and there you read about Paul and Silas and one of their missionary journeys. And you read this about their life, that they wanted to go eastward with the gospel. But it says this in the middle of that chapter 16 of Acts about Paul and Silas. It says, "The Spirit, the Holy Ghost, suffered them not." And in other words, the Holy Spirit guided them not to go east with the gospel, but as we see from that same chapter, westward with the gospel into Macedonia. But they were guided by the fellowship of the Spirit of God in their lives. The Holy Spirit directed them and guided them in the way that God would have them to go. Dear believer in Christ, as a result of having peace with God through faith in Christ, you have this wonderful privilege of fellowship with God. God speaks to us through His Holy Word. He reveals Himself to us through His Word. Not through visions of men or things of men, but through His Word. You have the privilege of praying to God, your loving, gracious, heavenly Father, in every time of need. And what does it say about the Lord? He giveth more grace. There's no end to the grace of God in your times of need. You have the wonderful privilege of the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your soul, leading you and guiding you toward Christ in the ways of His Word, in the way that God would have you to go. Yes, peace with God, that means the privilege of fellowship with God. But there's another blessing and privilege I want you to note also this morning. Peace with God, not only does it mean the blessing or the privilege of fellowship with God, it also means the privilege of knowing the peace of God in our hearts and in our lives. In Psalm 29, in verse number 11, it says, "The Lord shall bless His people with peace." Again, in Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." You see, whenever a person trusts Christ for salvation, they can know the peace of God. In other words, God's peace ruling in their life. As they seek to serve the Lord and to live for Christ, even in the midst of great trials, in the midst of great troubles and sorrows and difficulties. Turn with me back to John's Gospel, chapter number 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14.
And this is a passage that you'll often hear read at a funeral. And I want you to look at verse number 1 and then go down to verse number 27 of John's Gospel, chapter 14. And here Christ was speaking to his disciples. He was soon to be parted from them. There was sorrow in their hearts. He was going to be tried and going to the cross of death and crucifixion. But he says in verse 1 of John 14, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." He's seeking to dispel their fears, their troubles, their worries, their cares. And what did he say to them? What did he promise them? Look at verse 27 of the same chapter. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." There he was speaking about the peace of God. You see, there's a difference between peace with God and the peace of God. Every sinner who repents of their sin, who trusts Christ as Savior, has peace with God. They're brought into the family of God. Their sins are forgiven. They have fellowship with God. But there's more for the believer in Christ. There is this blessing of the peace of God. Over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul there is instructing the believer about prayer. And then he goes on in the next verse, verse 7 of Philippians 4, he says this: "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." He's talking there about the blessing of this peace of God ruling and reigning in the life of the believer. That word "keep" there in Philippians 4, verse 7, really means to garrison or to protect. You think of how soldiers might keep a garrison or protect a city or a castle. And that is what Paul is saying to us there. That is what he's teaching us as believers. Through the peace of God, we can be kept and protected and garrisoned around as the people of God in the midst of this ungodly world. It's important to say this morning that the ungodly in this world, they know nothing of true peace. They know nothing of true rest. There are many today and they're seeking such peace in the world and the pleasures of this world and the sins of this world, but there they will never find true peace. But dear child of God, believer in Christ this morning, when you seek to obey God's word and will for your life, when you seek God's face in prayer, I tell you this, you will know the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Yes, you may be in great trouble personally or in your family, in your home. You may be engulfed in the midst of sorrow and maybe sickness and trials and hurt. There may seem to be roadblocks and obstacles up the way ahead of you in every aspect of your life. But I tell you this, in the midst of it all, you will know the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 119, verse 165? "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Turn back to Psalm 37 and the verse number 37. Look at this wonderful promise there. Look at what it says in this great psalm. And if you study the context of that psalm, you'll see that the psalmist was going through a time of great hurt in his life because of the witness of the ungodly. But look at what he says in verse number 37. He says, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright." Notice it. "For the end of that man is peace." David there was talking about the peace of God ruling, reigning, abiding in his heart, even in the midst of great conflict and great trial and great trouble. What does the hymn writer say? "Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above." Oh, believer in Christ, in this life, you have the wonderful privilege of knowing the peace of God that passeth all understanding because you have peace with God through faith in Christ. You have the wonderful privilege also of fellowshipping with God.
because you have peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But finally this morning, I want you also to see that peace with God, it means being with God forever in heaven, that place of everlasting peace, that place of eternal peace. Turn over again to Romans chapter 5. Look with me, please, there at verse number 2, and look at what it says about those who have peace with God through faith in Christ. He says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And notice these final words, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Notice there how Paul talks about the hope of the glory of God. He's speaking there about heaven, the place of eternal peace for the believer, the child of God. My, this is God's promised inheritance to all who have peace with God through faith in Christ as their Savior. What a difference there is between the end of those whose faith is in Christ for salvation and the end of those who are not saved. You see, whenever the unsaved leaves this world, there's no hope of heaven for them. There is no eternal peace for them. Rather, there is judgment. The judgment of a lost eternity in a lost sinner's hell. This is what it says in Romans 2, verses 8 and 9 about the end of the unsaved. It says, but unto them that do not obey the truth, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. What an end there is for the unsaved. There's no peace, God says in his word, to the wicked. One see a friend in our meeting this morning, man or woman, young person, this is the awful end that awaits you. If you leave this world without peace with God, without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, as the hymn writer rightly says, horrors past imagination will surprise your trembling heart. Oh, there's no peace for the sinner when they leave this world. But child of God, in our meeting this morning, when you have peace with God by faith in Christ the Savior, you can look forward to heaven. As it says there in Romans 5, verse 2, you can look forward to the hope of the glory of God. Heaven is a place of eternal life, where there is no sin, where there is no sickness, no sorrow, no death. A place of everlasting peace. That place of eternal service for God, that place of eternal fellowship with God. The Bible says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Why? Because they go into eternal peace and glory forevermore. Believer, should you die before Christ returns, your soul at that moment of death, yes, will go immediately to be with the Lord in heaven, as it says in Philippians, to be with Christ, which is far better. And then when Christ returns, your body will rise from the grave, wherever that is. Rise incorruptible and immortal and be reunited with your soul in heaven in that place of eternal peace. Turning your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here Paul is dealing with the resurrection of the believer onto eternal life and eternal peace, the body of the believer. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 51 and 52 and verse 53. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. There he was speaking to the Corinthians of the great hope of the resurrection of the body of the believer unto life eternal. Child of God, this is your hope of glory, because you have peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. These bodies, yes, that may be sown and buried and in dishonor and weak, will rise from the grave, immortal, eternal, incorruptible. As the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, this is the blessing, I tell you, of having peace with God.
Now, years ago in the ancient Roman Empire, whenever a candidate was selected for public office in ancient Rome, they had to wear white robes in that office. Well, child of God, this morning I tell you this, you are a candidate for heaven because you've washed your robes, you've made them white. As the Bible says, in the blood of the Lamb, and the blood of Christ. Unsaved man, woman, young person in our meeting this morning, if you are to be a candidate for heaven, then you too need your robes washed in the blood of the Lamb, your sins washed away by the blood of Christ. You need to come to rest upon Christ alone for salvation and to know peace with God through faith in Christ as your own and personal Savior.